Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasul Allah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya
wa ala alika washabika ya Habib Allah.
Wa ala alika washabika ya.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi Allah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabi.
Wa ala alika washabika ya Nur Allah.
Wa ala alika washabika ya Nur.
MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the weekly program that's broadcasting from our Oldham studios here. We're in the beautiful building here, Fazana Madina in Oldham. Alhamdulillah, we're in a studio here as well. We've got an interesting topic that we've been discussing amongst ourselves during the day, and we'll introduce that a little bit later. But I want to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's one that I think I shared with, I think, Bilal Bhai earlier on today. Actually, we had a meeting, that there's a Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that if a person sends salutations upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1,000 times in a day, then that person will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala. And during the day when we mentioned this hadith, we said that if we were to say to our viewers today that if you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala, 1,000 times in a day, I'll pay you rent.
Allahu Akbar.
If I was to say to you, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala, 1,000 times a day, I'll pay your mortgage. How many of us would turn down that offer? None of us. But unfortunately, we turned down the offer of having a house in paradise. That is our house in paradise. And if we have a house in paradise, that means that inshallah, azza wa jal, we're going to go to that house, that inshallah, we will be in paradise. So please make it a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something, and I've said many, many times before, you can do it in passing, you can do it in driving, you can do it whilst you're walking. There's people that go jogging, there's people that do all sorts of different activities during the day. Unless you're actually reading or you're speaking, in the majority of cases, whatever you are doing, you can actually utilize that time and send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows, I've said this many times before, who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, youngsters today, growing up in the Western world in particular, and maybe even in the Islamic world as well, they're growing up confused. That who am I? Where am I? What, you know, what is my identity? Where do I fit in? And I remember one of our pious predecessors, he said that, Merkorn, who am I? But he meant it from a spiritual level. You know, he meant it from a spiritual level, that who am I in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Maybe a little bit later on, we'll talk about ourselves as on a spiritual level, how we are in the sight of Allah. But I think youngsters today, they are confused. You know, where do they fit in society? What is their identity? What is the role in society? And the young Muslims in particular, we feel that maybe they are more vulnerable than others, that they have this confusion. And then we have influences outside, the influence that our youngsters are facing today, and it has an impact on their lives. And inshallah, today with the guests that we have in the studio, we're going to discuss this, and inshallah, we're going to try and have some sort of a guidance for our youngsters out there that are maybe confused. Maybe you won't think you're confused. A lot of people will not admit that they're confused. No, I'm all right, I'm all right, I know where I am, I know where I stand. But deep down, we really are, a lot of us are. I grew up in this country, I met many, many people. I actually grew up in this country, and I know there was a time where I was confused as well. And I think it happens to all of us. And I'm hoping that our guest that we have in the studio will help us today. MashaAllah, Hafiz Bilal, who's a regular attendee on this. MashaAllah, he's here as well. Tawfiq Bhai is effectively the host of this establishment here. MashaAllah, he's here every day. MashaAllah. I was saying to him earlier on before the program that, you know what, you need to spend more time at home because this has become his second home. It's more and more becoming his first home than his actual home. So may Allah Azawajal bless him and put barakah in his time. And MashaAllah, Akram Bhai is also here as well. He's a regular here and he's from local here as well. So without further ado, I'm going to go over to our guest that, you know, how do you identify? When we're talking about identity crisis, what is an identity crisis?
Habib, when we look at identity crisis, it's more common nowadays, but there's a lot of different struggles that we go through. So as Muslims or as individuals, we need to have the knowledge of separating individual struggles from broader or social political discussions. So first question that we need to ask ourselves, is this struggle that I am facing, is it more for me or is it something that I'm confused about in terms of being a Muslim, etc.? Because many Muslims nowadays, you know, especially with the current social media, current platforms environment. You know, many people go through periods where they question themselves, like you mentioned, that who am I as a Muslim? How do I balance, you know, modern life with faith? Because obviously nowadays a lot of people, especially with the cost of living, etc., many people feel that they have to work extra hard. And by working extra hard, extra long hours, they're not able to balance the faith. So one side is always heavier. And also sometimes what happens is we have something that culturally is adopted. And sometimes we have to do things by the religion. So it's very important that the upbringing, and obviously as individuals, we have the education that, hang on a minute, okay, this is something that my family has been following for X amount of years. But is this what the true religion of Islam teaches us? Or is this something that we've adopted over the years as a cultural thing or as a village thing that people, you know, of certain villages, they go through these certain cultures? And this obviously nowadays is very evident because a lot of youngsters, they are growing up in a different environment. So for example, if you look at back at the 70s or the 80s, the culture, the environment was totally different, where there was no exposure to the internet. There wasn't exposure to a lot of wrong numbers, as they would say. But nowadays, now within our society, within our environment, many people try to go online, they search for many, many things, and they have many, many conflicting information relayed to them. And then they confuse even more that who is telling the truth. You know, this is a Muslim social media platform or whatever they've obviously gone through. But it's very crucial for those particular individuals that if you are struggling or if you want to know the true purpose, is follow the footsteps of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So read the seerah. If someone is totally brand new, or if they want to understand how am I going to live a life of bestness, is to read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a starter, and then build upon that.
Hafiz, something that you mentioned towards the start, that is something, identity crisis is something which is affecting a lot of people now.
Yes.
Something to consider, I don't think it's something new. I think it's been there for generations. Mm. It's just been highlighted now because of social media. Mm. Like Halibai started with it, I went through it. So at that time, there was no social media.
I'd like to say I'm a young lad, but I'm not.
Allah.
So it's not something new, especially for the youngsters who are watching us. It's not that something is wrong in this generation now, that it wasn't there before.
Okay.
It's always been there.
But I think Arkambai, what's also one thing that you mentioned about culture and about, you know, the village culture, because we're living here, I was brought up in this country.
Yes.
Obviously, I was born in this country and brought up in this country, but then my father came from a different culture.
Mm.
And I was brought up as a Muslim, but he came from a different culture. And so we've got that cultural influence on ourselves. Yes. Then you've got the culture here. Then you've got the environment. And it's like, you know, I remember, just to share with you, I felt as I was growing up, I felt I was on, my feet were on two separate boats. I've got one foot on this boat, one foot on this boat. And so I can jump from one side to the other.
Yes. Yeah?
From like the English culture to the Pakistani culture and try and merge the Islamic culture in the middle of it. But as you get older, then boats start to get further and further apart.
Mm.
And now it gets harder and harder to jump from one to the other.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's where the confusion arises as you start making that decision. And I know myself and my siblings growing up in this country that confusion started. There's a lot of people out there that when they try to find out who they are, obviously there's influence out there. You know, it's very hard to, you know, lock yourself in a room, or very hard to go and sit in a cave for 6 months and say, who am I? You've got influence out there. You've got books out there. You've got internet out there. You've got social media, and you're looking at all these people and you're thinking, yeah, I want to be like him. Yeah, I want to be like them. And so all of this influence, and it becomes even harder now.
Mm.
And also what happens is because you've got all this influence, then I will say that people will make the wrong decisions because, you know, you see people that are misguided, that have gone off the track, or for whatever label you want to put on them, it's because they've not had that guidance at that right time in their life to strengthen their identity. And we've said it, I've said it many, many times in my speeches that a youngster today needs to have that firmness of faith inside him, that when something comes in front of him and it's non-Islamic, he has that strength inside him, that pride inside him, that he can say no. Because, you know, I think a topic that we discussed, peer pressure.
Yes.
That affects all of us. And yes. This peer pressure also creates an identity as well. That peer pressure on you, that I have to be like this. I have to conform to, and I'm not, even though I'm not happy being like this. I remember many years ago, Taufik, but we had outreach work, Alakai Dora, in a town not very far from here. And I was in the Emiri Kafla. And so we come out, we walk in the street meeting people. And we came into a park. And just picture the scene. In this park, there were the young Asian lads, Muslim lads, string vests, the mundriya, the chains, the dogs, you know, on literally on chains. And the Emiri Kafla looks at me and I look at him thinking, nobody's going to listen to us here. Anyway. So he says to me, you go forward. Because he was Urdu and he said, you speak to him in English. So I started speaking to them and inviting them to the masjid and everything, yeah. And some of them like laughed, yeah. Which I expected to be, and I was mentally prepared for that. And one of them said, you know what, I'll come with you. And they all said, what's up with you? Yeah. Said, I've got nothing else better to do. And anyway, I'll come with them. And anyway, I live that way, you know, because I said we're going to go to the mosque. And he said, I live that way and I'll walk him to the mosque and then I'll go home. All right, then yeah, you're wasting your time. So he starts walking with me. And the Emiri Kafla said, you're next to him, all the way to the mosque. You talk to him all the way, you know. I said, okay, no problem. So I'm talking to him, just general questions, you know, where are you born, you know, school, how old are you, all them sort of things you're doing. And he turned around to me and he said, Pai, what you're seeing is not me. And I went, what? He said, this is not me. I said, did I say anything to you about your clothes? I didn't say anything about it. He said, but I just want you to know, he said, that this is not me. I said, okay, you've made that statement now, and I didn't ask you, but now I'm going to ask you a counter question. Why did you tell me that? And if that is not you, then what are you? Who are you then? Yeah. And he turned around to me and said, I have to be like this. Otherwise, I've got no friends. And this, Taufik Bhai, was more than 20 years ago. And I'll never forget it. I can actually take you to literally within 10 meters of the spot where he told me that. Wow. I can take you to the street, probably within 10, 15 meters of the spot where he told me. It hit me so hard. And I like felt for him that he was lost. And he felt that he had to conform to what other people were. Otherwise, he had no identity. So this is the other problem. It's like identity crisis is also affected by peer pressure as well.
That's a common example, like even today, maybe not that extreme, but everyone wants to feel like they belong somewhere.
Belong to something, yeah.
They fit in somewhere. And then to do that, they feel like they have to behave the way other people are behaving. And that's where their identity crisis comes. That sometimes they might be with a certain group to fit in with them at that time, they have to behave like them. Yeah. When you go to a different group, you have to behave like that.
And that's where you have that problem, isn't it?
That's where you have that.
You are just parts. Part of that crowd, aren't you? You're like kind of like merging into that community. Yes. You're merging into that community. You're merging. You haven't your own identity. But that's where the youngsters today have that problem. And I do feel for them because I understand it. It's not easy, you know, growing up. When I was growing up, but now it's even harder.
The thing is, example you gave, that shows this is a real issue.
Oh, it is.
And only those who go through it.
Bilal Bhai said it just now. I agree with Arkham Bhai. That was over 20 years ago and it's hit me and I'll never forget it. I've had many times like that, you know, when we meet people, but that particular one, I'll never forget it.
But the other part of that incident is there's people out there who have the identity crisis, they want to get out of it, they need someone to help them to get out of it. And there might be people who are waiting for that.
I think there are a lot of people out there that want to make a stand about certain things, but they don't because they feel that they have to conform. And if I say something, then I'm like, you know, you're the weirdo, you're this, and like, but everybody's thinking that, but nobody wants to say it. Mm. And so like everybody keeps quiet on certain issues. And again, that pressure's there to confirm. And then you've got, you know, social media pressure that this person's, you know, He's going on Umrah every day and he's got a big car there. And they thought, well, how's he got like that?
You know, the religious side of society, this is where we need to take that stand and be available, be approachable to people around us.
The feedback, you know, I'm talking on behalf of you guys at the moment. A lot of people see religious people as boring people. Yeah. But those people that go out, you know, play, go to the gym, have a football match, you know, go out any other, they're the guys that I want to hang out. Why do I want to hang out with you? This is what I'm saying is, this is where we need to be
proactive. That is a barrier though, isn't it?
That's where we have to be proactive.
That is a barrier.
You can't expect them to come to you.
Yeah. No.
We have to go to them.
We have to go there.
Like I said, we went into that park.
Just give salam.
If I had gone into that park that day, that would have never happened, right? And you know, when we went into that park and for a start off, we were scared of the dogs. There were big dogs on like chains, not like, you know, leather chains, chains, yeah? Like, I'm looking at the ground, I'm thinking, no, I don't want to be here. He said, I'll get you, go on, go forward. And like, so, you know, but if I'd never gone there, what's the chance that he would have come to the mosque? No chance. We have to go there, and I called him to the, you know what, the story doesn't finish there. Came to the mosque, and it's time for Maghrib, yeah? Because Asr to Maghrib is the ilaka dhuhr. So I'm from Maghrib, and I said, we're going to read our namaz now, and then after that, there'll be a speech. And he called me to one side, and he said, I forgot to read my namaz. No. And he was like, 27, 28, something like that. I said, okay, don't worry. I said, just follow the imam, yeah? And we'll sort you afterwards. So he said, okay, so we followed the imam afterwards. Sat a brother there with him, you know, the namaz book. I said, come on, we'll read it together. Let's start. Read Surah Fatiha. Forgot how to read Arabic. You know, he's so far away. And yet, inside him was something that wanted to be there. Because otherwise, why would he be there? He could have just left us, run off, done whatever he wanted. He wanted to be there. But pressure wanted him to be somewhere else.
Mm.
And I think that's where the youngsters today, and I think, you know, the, you know, going back to what I was saying to you, that the people out there that have a religious mindset, the people that are watching this program, every one of you has to play your part in helping these people. That you have to go out to them. They're not going to come to you. You know, and like, I remember, you remember the feedback when we had the drug awareness programs around the COVID time, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, Arkanbar, we had a drug awareness program. The first one we did in Huddersfield,
I think it was Huddersfield, yeah.
There's a community hall here, a masjid across the road, right? The masjid was free to use. We used a community hall. And it was packed. You remember, it was packed.
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't we not use the free masjid? We could have had that for free. We spent under £200 or whatever it was. Why? Because they won't go there. So you have to go to them. They're not going to come to you. And this is where, you know, I say to all the people of Dar es Salaam, they're not going to come to you. You have to go to them. We have to go and meet these youngsters, help these youngsters. If you expect them to all come to the weekly slot, it's not going to happen.
No. You know, Khalidma, you mentioned youngsters, you know, who go through this type of like a barrier of they don't know what to do with the prayer. They're not confident. I had an incident once. We were doing a weekend class for adults, and mashallah, we had a very good turnout. And on the, maybe the same day, in between, it was Zuhr time, and I said, inshallah, let's have a break now. We're going to pray Zuhr namaz. And this someone was, I think it was mid, early 40s, a family man who, if you look at him normally, he's just a lively person. You know, he's got family, he's got kids. Now, someone you need to see a normal individual. But that this brother, he come there and he goes, he took me to the side, he goes, okay, what do I do? And Jamaat's about to take place. And the impression I got was that he didn't know like what to do in the prayer. He felt that I'm going to be standing here, I'm going to feel odd. I don't know what to do. And that hit me.
Okay.
I thought, what? And you know, I've told him just to copy me, stand there, copy me. But alhamdulillah, that brother kept coming and he's improved a lot, mashallah, may Allah bless him. But that made me feel, you know, like we normally see examples in janazah. There's people who turn up on janazah and they've turned up because of their funeral, you know, of a loved one, but they don't actually know how to perform the janazah.
So I've actually been in janazah, Tawfiq, but I remember I was in one janazah, I think in Accrington or Blackburn, made the safs, the lines. And the guy says to me, Bahi, there's no space here for sajda.
Allah.
And I went, there's no sajda in the masjid. Oh, okay. But you know, I was thinking about what you were just saying.
But these people are out there.
And they are?
They will be within our reach as well. Our family or a few streets away. We need to reach out to them.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to come to you. We have to go to them. But you know, I was just thinking as you were talking as well that, you know, imagine a person in a professional environment. All right? He's a chartered accountant in a high-fly chartered accountancy office or, you know, electrical engineer, project manager or in a bank or something. For them in that situation, they're under a lot of peer pressure to maintain the identity that they want to have. So I think there's two parts to this, isn't there? There's the identity crisis, who am I, which is a confusion. But there's also the problem that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
I know what I want to be.
I don't want to tarnish that image.
But I find it hard to be me, if you know what I mean. I want to be me, but I find it hard to be me.
I mean, with that, Halibai, I think what we have to say, you know, regardless of youngsters, elders, all of these things, they're going to come with time. So nowadays what happens
we start jumping the gun. We want everything to happen overnight, especially with professional backgrounds. You know, from 15, 20 years ago to now, a lot of things have changed. Because why? A lot of people, like you mentioned, they want to do that, they want to follow that, but they think, they assume. All of a sudden, we have this assumption that for me to be part of that crowd, is this is something that I have to adopt. No. At the end of the day, you know, we are Muslims, our Islam, that's the core belief that we should do. And we have to be true at the best of the opportunities that we have. And with those type of people or those affiliations, we have to take our time. Education is a must. Ultimately, this is something that we should be practicing. And for obviously for youngsters as well, or elders, you know, yes, your father, your mother, or within the household, this is something that may have not been taught to you, but over the years or over time, like Tawfiq bhai mentioned, you know, through reaching, you've learned this. You have to make that change now. Another thing, like you mentioned, yes, we have to, especially with our Islami as we are associated, we have to get out of our comfort zones. Yeah. I think you remember, you mentioned that there may be certain times that we'll probably have to put these vests on. The bulletproof vest, we have to go out to the community, you know, not feel scared, because that's what happens. You know, we feel scared that I'm going to go out to this so-and-so person, I'm going to knock on their window and he's going to give me, you know, a load of verbal things back. But that's fine. Let them provide you that assistance or that communication, but you never stop. And that's something that we give up really easily. You know, when we do the Neki Gidaa with Infradi Koshish, yeah, we leave it to a message. Why do you turn up on that door?
I don't think, you know, when you're going to knock on someone's door and like a large number of people will actually scream and shout at you. That doesn't happen. But
no, but within the community, I'm saying, for example, on a street corner.
The barrier is that there are people, they've got concerns, they've got real issues in their minds.
Yes.
But they won't speak to you. Yeah. And there's an obstacle there.
You have to break that barrier down.
And the only way to do that is you need to make friends and you take time.
Again, there's things that are happening out there and people need to, you know, be willing to get out of the comfort zone and try and meet these people. They all need help and guidance.
But it's not easy though.
It's not easy, but it's just one of those things, you know, we need to make that step. As a family member, if I know that one of my family members, for example, are doing these particular things, it will be best for me to make that step because they can associate me. But sometimes what happens, we think it's not my problem. It is our problem because these are the youngsters, these are Muslims that we should be helping and bringing closer to Islam.
Viewers on the channel, you're watching Let's Talk. We have a Kalam of the day. So we're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue with this topic of the day. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tere jaya, koi nahi, yahi bole sidra wale chamne jahan ke thale sabhi maine chhan dale tere paaye ka na paya tere paaye ka na paya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tujhe yak ne yak banaya tere khulq ko haq ne azim kaha teri khilq ko haq ne jameel kiya کوئی تجھ سا ہوا ہے نہ ہوگا شہا تیرے خالق حسن و ادا کی قسم ادا کی قسم ادا کی قسم دنیا پہ آیا کوئی تیری نام مثال آقا دنیا پہ آیا کوئی تیری نام مثال آقا لب کے لے آما کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آما کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے ٹھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا تیرے باجو ڈگے نو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھو سونا تیرے نال دا اب میری نگاہوں میں جچتا نہیں کوئی ऐसे मेरे सरकार हैं, ऐसा नहीं कोई। तेरी आते सिफतां दा कोई भी हिसाब नहीं, तेरे आते सिफतां दा कोई भी हिसाब नहीं। तू ते किथे तेरियां गुलामां दा जवाब नहीं, तू ते किथे तेरियां गुलामां दा जवाब नहीं। होरां नूं तू रूप वंडे हबशी बिलाल दा, होरां नूं तू रूप वंडे हबशी बिलाल दा। रब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा। चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नूं, रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नूं। चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नूं, चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नूं। रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नूं, रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नूं। शैदाए जमाना तेरे हुस्नो जमाल दा, शैदाए जमाना तेरे हुस्नो जमाल दा। रब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा। इशारे से चांद चीर दिया, छुपे हुए खुर को फेर लिया। गए हुए दिन को असर किया, ये ताबो तवा तुम्हारे लिए। करके दुआ सोना सूरज नू मोड़दा, करके दुआ सोना सूरज नू मोड़दा। आपे चन तोड़दा ते आपे चन जोड़दा, आपे चन तोड़दा ते आपे चन जोड़दा। बिगड़ी बनावे मेरे नबी दा इशारा हाँ, बिगड़ी बनावे मेरे नबी दा इशारा। रब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा। कहंदी ऐ हलीमा मुख वेख लजपाल दा, कहंदी ऐ हलीमा मुख वेख लजपाल दा। लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा। चौदवी दा चन नाले अरशां दा तारा, चौदवी दा चन नाले अरशां दा तारा। कसम खुदा दी मैनू सब नालों प्यारा, कसम खुदा दी मैनू सब नालों प्यारा। होका देवा तेरे मैं सच्चे प्यारा दा, होका देवा तेरे मैं सच्चे प्यारा दा। ज्योंदा ए जहूरी ना लैके तेरे यारा दा, ज्योंदा ए जहूरी ना लैके तेरे यारा दा। मंगता मैं तेरा तेरे दर तेरी आल दा, हाँ मंगता मैं तेरा तेरे दर तेरी आल दा। रब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा। दुनिया ते आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल दा, दुनिया ते आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल दा। लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा।
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Monday Channel, you're watching Let's Talk, the program that's broadcast every Tuesday from our studio here in Alderman. Today, we are talking about the identity crisis. And what do we mean by that? We mean that, in particular, youngsters in particular, and I think like Arkambai said, that this is not a new phenomenon. It's been happening for many, many years, and I can identify it as well. That a time comes in your life where you're not sure who you are. And when I mean who you are, what is your identity, you know, and as a Muslim, what is your identity? Where do you fit in? And I think Arkambai mentioned early on that there are people that will go to one gathering and they want to be like them. Then they'll come out and they'll go to another gathering and they want to be like them. And then they'll come out and they want to be in another gathering and they'll become like that. But who are they individually? They are confused. They are lost. And I think we need to try and find some middle ground, something that we can help you with this. And I think one of the things that Taufiq Bhai touched upon early on is associating yourself with the right people. And we mentioned it many, many times in basically whatever speech or whatever course, whatever thing we do, we always mention the company that you keep, because the company that you keep is what affects you, what makes you, what influences you, you know. And this is where we also need to look at ourselves. And during the break, Arkambai mentioned that, you know, social media has a huge impact on our life. People look at social media today and look at what's happening there and thinking, that's who I want to be. You know, irrespective of whatever track it takes me down, whatever I become as a result of that becomes my ideal. And we don't realize that to achieve what they have achieved, you know, is maybe impossible. And I remember by seeing a social media post where I had a picture of an apple in front of a mirror. And so you got the mirror and you got the apple. Yeah. And the apple looked beautiful in the mirror.
Allah.
But behind the mirror, it was chewed and it was mangled and it was all a rotten apple. So again, what we see is what's in the mirror. What we see is what people want us to see.
Correct.
And that's where a lot of our youngsters grow up looking at these people and thinking that I want to be like that, I want to be like that. And they don't have them right role models. So I think the feedback is quite important. And I think we want to touch upon that. How can we choose the people that we associate with? How do I make that decision?
I think, Khalid, before I mention anything on that one, I would just want to highlight something. It's important for us as an individual to be proud of who we are.
MashaAllah.
And I'm going to give an example of one of our local attendee of Fizana Medina Oldham, elderly man. He passed away. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him and give him a high place in Jannah. And one thing I seen in his life since I've known him, our connection with him was he used to come and read namaz here. MashaAllah. Whenever he came, you know, he used to feel that love here. He felt so welcomed and he just kept coming here. Especially Dhuhr and Asr prayer during the summer, especially he was here regularly. And this uncle, I probably heard these words come out from his tongue maybe like good 15, 20 times. He more or less, like whenever, every time I saw him, he would say the same thing and he would not get tired of him. Oh. Obviously, it's the elderly age as well. Sometimes you don't really realize what you're saying and, you know, you're repeating too much. You don't realize. And obviously, we used to listen to the uncle and say to, you know, we just as if I'm listening to the first time every time. But the words were these. He used to say that wherever I go, I tell people that I like being a Muslim.
SubhanAllah.
He's someone like 75, 80 year old, really old man. And he used to speak English. He said, I like being a Muslim because this gives me an excuse to leave my house so I can have a bit of fresh air and I can go to the masjid. I feel comfortable. He had his own like speech. And it was a beautiful thing the way he used to talk about it. And he goes, if for argument's sake, if I wasn't a Muslim and I would just be at home at this age, retirement age, I'd just be at home looking at the walls and I would be depressed. And that was his version. And he used to say that so many times. But, you know, deep down, it was a sign of his pride. You know, he was proud that he's a Muslim. He was proud of his identity. And that's what's needed. Now, as an individual, no, we are fortunate. We are lucky that Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to be a Muslim.
Alhamdulillah.
And we must be proud of this. We need to be proud of this. Because this is if we had a choice and we made this choice, the reality is this was gifted to us. A lot of us were born as a Muslim. Yeah, but even those, you know, who searched for it, that's the best ever decision of their life to become a Muslim. And you know, we need to be proud of this Muslim identity. Now, back to the question.
But just to touch on what you just said, though, those people that have found Islam,
Allah,
I don't think they have a bigger identity crisis than the rest of us.
It's the ones who are born Muslim.
It's the ones that are born Muslims have the biggest problem, because those people that have found Islam, they've searched.
They've
made sacrifices.
They initially had that phase, which was quite worse in that sense. They didn't know where they were. They were lost in the world. But because they were sincere, and in fact, the answer is linked to both sides. No, it's the answer, if you look at their journey and the journey of what we need to take, is similar. Their journey was that those people who were actually lost in life, they just didn't know what to do, they're sick and fed up of their life. Some of them probably been in prison so many times, they've had so much, you know, issues in their family and all sort of things, you know, financial issues or everything. They've lived that life, but they had problems in life. They just don't know what they're doing, why they're here. Them type of people who were sincere to themselves and they wanted to look for the truth. They searched for the truth with sincerity and they found it. Mm-hmm. They found Islam. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if you look at their life journeys, you'll find that Islam was probably the last thing they looked at. They on purpose, they avoided it. They thought, nah, Islam, not that's not for me. Yeah, they looked at other religions. They looked at other lifestyles, other cultures. And whilst they're doing that, but because they were sincere in their search and they wanted to be fair and transparent to their heart, and they looked at Islam at the end. And when they looked at Islam with an open mind, with sincerity, they found the truth. They realized this is the truth. And these are people who were not Muslims first. They found peace in Islam. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. We are Muslims. And if we are going through this phase in our life, we need to look at this. Yeah. First, you know, we are Muslims. This is the best ever thing that can happen. Yeah. And, you know, the reason we're going through these challenges is because, now, the atmosphere with around us, the friend circle, the colleagues, if you just try to find the right people around you, the positive people around you, inshallah, you'll find your answers. But be sincere in this though. Sometimes you think, nah, everyone's bad. Mm. You know, there's some people here in our society, they feel that everyone is a liar. Everyone's evil.
Well, I think, again, because maybe they've had experiences as well.
They've had the experience and they've concluded that. And so, unfortunately, you know, you can't get that out of their mind. Yeah, but if someone is going through, you know, this type of phase in their life, you're going through identity crisis, you know, don't look far. You know, turn to Allah. You know, go. Just, you know, it'll be hard at the beginning. It'll be a big step that you'll have to take. Perform wuzu, wear nice clothes, you know, make some preparation, make your way to the masjid, read namaz, just go there. And when you go there, and meet people as well, just give salam to people. Don't run away. Just go there and have a sense of belonging, the connection with the masjid. Inshallah, there will be someone, if you keep going for a week or so, you'll find someone, you'll feel, I'm comfortable with that brother. And spend time with them. Talk to them. You know, share your, you know, feelings with them. And inshallah, you'll find answers. You know, everyone's got their own story. And you need to find people who have that positive mindset. So inshallah, the more we work on this.
I mean, like you just mentioned there, Halabai, recently we had a discussion, you know, and this, the reply that the person gave, you know, it was quite good. You know, obviously, you know, social media has a negative impact on Islam, etc. So what happened, this taxi driver, he gave this story that he got a job, and some of these, obviously, jobs for taxis, and they're like for, you know, some of these real rural areas or like estates. So what he did, he asked, you know, if you don't mind, can I ask for money first? So when the person got into the taxi, he goes, can I have the money? And the person questioned, why? He goes, well, I've had bad experiences, obviously going to these rural areas, et cetera, et cetera. And the reply that person gave, you know, in return is that you hear many people, many Muslims doing wrongful activities, but does that mean every Muslim is wrong? So he gave that example that, okay, you've had these experiences, but does that necessarily mean
everybody
from that particular thing is bad? So it's very important that, you know, we look at the bigger picture, like Tawfiq Bhai mentioned. And I made a few points, you know, in terms of like step-by-step guide, as simple as it is, that we need to anchor our identity. So who am I? So it's very important that we set one clear foundation that I am a Muslim first. So whether it be a father, whether it be anyone, for youngsters, for anyone in a family, that we must be proud we are Muslim first. This is a clear foundation that I have. And everything else that I've got, like culture, nationality, trend or whatever, that's secondary. But my almost first thing, my foundation is that I am Muslim. And then from the Holy Quran that we learn that our purpose is to worship and the connection to Allah Almighty.
Mashallah.
So it's very important that this is our true purpose. In the Holy Quran, it's been mentioned many times that our purpose as Muslims
is to worship Allah Almighty and have that connection. Identity is in your heart and intentions, not labels. Many people may give you labels. Oh, he's a Muslim, he's got a beard, he's got imam or whatever. But identity, our true identity is in our hearts. We shouldn't be bothered about labels. And we need to ask ourselves daily, that am I living for people? Am I living for people or for Allah Almighty? And if you follow this clear step, inshallah, azawajal, from a very young age as parents, instill this love for Islam in youngsters. From day one, whether it be anywhere, you know, you don't have to go above and beyond. Explain it in simple terms to youngsters so they understand the ahmiyat, the beautify.
I think, obviously, from what you're saying, like, ilm is something that, you know, builds clarity, it creates a clarity. And from a young age, we have them, children, that if they're brought up in that, and then they've got that clarity, they've got that knowledge, they've got that identity, they've got that faith, they've got that pride inside them, then inshallah, they'll be okay. But obviously, there's people that don't get that because their parents haven't had that. And then you also get the other side of it, as and we need to be aware of this, that it does happen, that there are people that from a young age, they've been given that ilm, they've been given that knowledge, they've been reading namaz from the moment it's become further upon them, if not before that. They've been fasting from a young age. But then a time comes in their life where they get confused, even though they've got that upbringing. And I think what we need to be aware of is, you know, what are the early warning signs that we see that our children are getting confused? Because I think we see that some children, that even though they've come, all their lives have been going to the masjid, and all of a sudden they stop going. And we need to be able to identify them and help them before it's too late.
You know, sometimes it starts with people having questions, and then we don't answer the questions. Then later on, that leads to doubts.
Yes.
Then we can't clear those doubts, and then ultimately it leads to denial, and then they won't ever listen to you again.
I think that's a very, very valid point, that I think a lot of parents are scared. Well, number one, children are scared of asking questions. Mm. And then when the children do ask those questions, you know, the parents just shut up. You know, you just have to believe. Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, who are you to ask? And I think, especially in this day, I use this metaphor.
The reason parents reply like this is because they don't know
they don't know themselves. But yeah. The thing is, I use this example that when I was going to the madrasa at that time, a long time ago. Yeah.
5 years ago.
It was do or die. Karo ya maro. You know, it was that. Now it's not do or die, it's how and why.
Yes.
The question, the children ask the question, and we have to give them the answers. Yeah. You cannot do or die with your children nowadays.
I think if you look at the new generation, they ask questions.
But they ask questions.
5, 6 year olds, because they ask questions.
Thinking, because social media gives them questions. Yes. Outside there in social media, there's so many influences. Like you said earlier, negative influence of Islam. So you're getting people giving a lot of negative influences. And so they go, yeah, he's right. I'll come back and I'll ask the feedback, right? And I ask the question that I've just, you know, there's a person on social media asking this question. Ask the feedback. I say, don't be stupid. Yeah, you don't ask them sort of question. Go on. And so that kid, what's he going to do? You know, this social media is explaining it to me. I understand what he's saying. But this guy, you know, he's confused me. So there'll be people that will look at social media. They'll listen to things. They'll hear things. And they think, well, yeah, that sounds right to me. But if someone doesn't clarify that to them, obviously, they're going to believe that, aren't they?
I think, you know, you hit the nail there. For new generation, it's important that we give them the sense of belonging and the pride of identity, Muslim identity. But for adults though, for adults, I think it's important that, you know, the masajid, the Islamic centers, they be open and they make announcements regular, especially at Jummah time. They should make regular announcements where if anyone wants to ask any Islamic questions, they want to talk to someone, they want to express their feelings.
In the majority, I know, alhamdulillah, we discuss this a lot. We have the tabiyyat sessions where we have these training sessions with our scholars and imams. But even then, there's a lot of youngsters thinking, you know what, I don't want to talk to him. Hmm. I'm scared of talking to him. I'm scared of talking to the imam. Not only that, because if I do talk to him and I ask him what might be a very, very silly question,
yes,
or might be considered a stupid question, they might think, yeah, you don't even know that. So it's you know, having that barrier with the scholars is hard. I think it's finding like-minded, like-aged, similar-aged people as your friends. It's your friends that are going to help you. Absolutely. The scholars are there, alhamdulillah.
But them friends, though, who are aware that they've got other friends who are going through a difficult patch in their life, they need to play a role.
Huge role.
And if they, like I said, you know, if there's doubt in your friend's mind, and you're aware of it, now you need to play a role, that you clear that. Hmm. That you should be the middleman. you know, taking him to the right people, to the Islamic scholars, and depending on what level of question it is, to Mufti Saab, or even just someone, you know, who knows, you know, any Dawud Islami responsible, for example, you know, go reach out to them, take your friend to them. Mm. I think, you know, these people in the middle.
It's not only that, I think take your friend, but I was, as you were talking, and an example came to my mind, Tawfiq, by that, a parent also needs to see this as well. Yes. That if he sees his child getting confused and he's not got the answers, then take him somewhere.
Yes.
Take him and sit him with someone and say, you know, Tawfiq bhai, yara, Arkan bhai is confused. Yeah.
You know, I think the parents, though, parents being parents, I think it's probably best practice that they shouldn't take their son with them first. on the first trip to the imam or anyone, they should go alone. They should go alone.
It depends on the child and it depends on the imam, I think, yeah. Because the child can feel comfortable asking silly questions, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's getting the right balance.
As a parent, though, you're right, though. It is the parents, you know, who will have a better idea.
All right, even if it's not, the parent doesn't take him to the imam, the parent finds someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of a similar age.
No, what I was...
You know, Dawud Islami's got people of all ages.
Yeah.
Go and find someone. You know, if a parent, you're confused that your children are getting misguided. I remember someone that, you know, he came to me and said, my child's reading these books and it's got all these things and it was all like negative aspects of Islam. I said, I've got answers for them. They give me the letter and I give them all the answers. I've got the answers for them. So, you know, Dawud Islami's got people of all ages. We don't have to go to the imam. You know, go meet Arkan bhai. Go meet this brother. Go, you know. But you have to make that, you know, the parents have to come to the ijtimaas. The parents have to find and identify the people that are in the ijtimaas that can help you. And then make them your friends. Invite them to your house for a meal. Invite, you know, when the sisters go to the ijtimaa, invite some of the sisters to your house for a meal and your daughter's there. The brothers go to the ijtimaa, invite some of the youngsters there to your house for a meal and your sons are there. You know, get them that environment. Create that environment.
How about the weekly gatherings, you know, is something that we shouldn't underestimate.
No, but maybe them children don't want to go. Yeah.
No, what yes. I'm saying...
get them to come to your house.
That's the first point. You know what we were discussing earlier on? That we have to go to them, they don't come to us.
No, they won't.
The main reason is they feel that we're not welcoming for them or we're not like-minded like them or we won't understand them. Mm. So the first step is before we expect them to come and ask imams questions or us questions is we make that environment that they look to us and think, all right, it is somewhere I can go. Yes. And these people are approaching us.
For them, coming to the masjid with these silly questions is like going into a lion's den.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah? Whereas if that person comes to his house where he's got his own comfort,
yes,
he knows that if I don't want to listen to the feedback, I can leave the room. But if I'm in a mosque where there's 200 people there, they're all going to be having a go at me. They're not going to let me get out of here. And that fear is there. So I think we have to make that change. And parents have to be aware that the children are confused. But that only happens when they have that connection with the children. And that, again, that's a different topic.
That opens a new
world. Yeah, it opens a real kind of world.
I think I'm going to speak for the youth. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami. I mean, I know they're not here, but alhamdulillah, we are creating such an environment. I remember just as long as ago, Halaba, if you remember, you know, they got a place in Hebden Bridge. I mean, I was absolutely scared driving to this place because it was the middle of nowhere. But alhamdulillah, when I went there, I saw many, many youngsters, many, many brothers, many, many fathers that they may not have come to the masjid, but they came to this particular youth event.
Exactly.
And alhamdulillah, they were gelling together, they were speaking, you know, they were really happy.
And we used to do the youth events, Tawfiq, if you remember.
Yes.
Every month we used to do it and those youngsters, like hundreds come.
Yes.
And coaches used to come.
The coaches used to go. If we went to London, the other side of the country, coaches used to go. And they used to be waiting for that weekend.
Allah. MashaAllah, views of Manjad Tawfiq, I started these spiritual retreats in the UK. And I remember I was in Rotherham once. And I was coming out the building. There's two coaches there. And I'm like, hey, what's happening here? They're all coming for the spiritual retreat. I said, what spiritual retreat? So Tawfiq has arranged something. I went,
MashaAllah.
How is he going to deal with these 150 kids?
Yeah, but it's something you have to create a platform for them.
Yes.
You have to reach out to them. You have to make them feel this is your place. We're doing it for you.
Allah.
If you make friends with them, they'll come.
No, they felt like they belonged there. And any month it didn't happen, we used to get questions.
Yeah.
Why is it not happening? So it is as long as you make that platform for them where they're comfortable and like it and see you as a role model, then they will come to you.
You can see it. That the youngsters felt relaxed there.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, they were very relaxed there, very comfortable there. And they all went away with positive vibes and saying, we want to have more of this. And I think this is where we need to, you know, coming onto the topic, we need to get our youngsters to come to these places. So I think what we've said today, and I know we've only got a few more minutes.
You know, from them retreats, sometimes you don't see that, you know, that practical change that you want to see them in their life. Sometimes you don't feel that, but you don't know how much transformation that person's going through.
No, you can't measure that.
You don't realize.
You can't measure
one of the examples.
And some of them kids who used to go to retreats, they graduated in Jamiatul Madina now.
MashaAllah.
Some of them kids we used to see, they come in with earrings. They would send us pictures from like a shopping center in the car park. Here's 10 of us. We're reading namaz because of the retreat.
Allah.
So I remember one youngster, 18, 19 year old possibly. He was, we had a whole retreat about games and addiction. And he came, he said, I play games, I think 65, 70 hours a week.
Allahu Akbar.
That's my average. Yeah, 9 hours per day, I think he would say 9 or 10 hours. Oh. And on my good days, it's about 14, 15 hours. Yeah. I was shocked. No, how could you even do that? You not eat, you don't sleep, you not do. It's crazy. We don't have time to elaborate on this. That same brother, that same individual, we made it. He knew, possibly he knew that we're going to probably have a go at him. Say to him, look, you can't do this, you can't do this. But the way we played it, he said, look, if you want, you could take a challenge. You got, for a, at least for a week, it's an optional challenge. Let's see if you could stay away from games for at least a week. And he came back next time, next month, and he said, I did it.
Wow, mashallah.
I didn't expect that from him. But wow, you know, sometimes you don't think, you know, what impact it could have on people.
Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Let's Talk, and today we've been talking about identity crisis. And I think we can all assume that parents are the first identity builders of the children, that they need to play their role in establishing the identity in the children. But also there's an importance of the Islamic environment, because if the environment is not there, then again, there's only so much that their parents can do as well. And I think there's also a role for the environment. So we need to ensure that our youngsters have, our children have the right environment, and mashallah, Dawah Islam is here to provide you with that environment as well. At the same time, the community support needs to be there as well. The mosques need to play their role. The scholars need to play their role. The elders need to play their role. The community leaders need to play a role. And not look down on those people that are going through this identity crisis. They're there, they're struggling, they feel isolated, they need our help and they need our time. And alhamdulillah, we are here, Dawah Islam is here. I think it's a golden opportunity for us to try and establish who we are and help us to identify ourselves and get us on the right track. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Let's Talk. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.